sponsor bosses everywhere. They post jobs on the big national job boards because they really don't care. Please do not write us to tell us you're a Dave who was insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
All right, I'm ready.
This is Steve Gorman Sports.
The Cleveland Browns had, what, 12 picks in the draft this year?
They did, and they dealt a couple already, so they're dwindling on that. But I'll say this, and people could roll your eyes, almost guaranteed now that they take one of the quarterbacks with the first four picks.
Oh, without question. Because you got Tyrod Taylor there, and you're going to say, okay, you got to.
I feel sorry for that kid. I really do feel sorry
for Tyrod.
Him. Yes, I do. As soon as Tyrod Taylor throws one interception, it's going to be like, will you bench this bum? That's the only thing I'm talking about.
That's a very good point.
Because when it comes to Cleveland, it's all about the future. And the future isn't with Tyrod Taylor. The future is either with Josh Rosen, either with Sam Darnold, either with Baker Mayfield. I like Tyrod Taylor. He doesn't say much. I don't know if he's a $10 or $11 million a year guy at quarterback there, but I don't want my backup making that money. And that's ultimately what it'll be.
Steve Gorman Sports.
I'm in a nightmare hallucination.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio.
Community Grapevine.
This is Danny O'Smiley coming to you from Lucky Penny Theater in Napa. On St. Patrick's Day, Saturday, March 17th, the Lucky Penny meets the Luck of the Irish in a night of Irish song and story starting at 7 o'clock. The Irish band Kith and Kin will join us as we sing all your favorite Irish songs. Of course, Irish libations will be available along with our usual fare. As a special treat, we'll be serving corned beef and coleslaw sliders at no charge thanks to ABC Cafe. Get your tickets at luckypennynapa.com or call 266-6305.
Do you know where to find your vehicle's recommended tire pressure? Did you say on the tire? Ooh, sorry. Think again. The best place to find the recommended tire pressure is on a sticker, usually located inside the driver's door, or check the owner's manual. Driving on underinflated tires can cause excess heat buildup, and that can cause tire damage and even tire failure. Make sure you check your tire pressure at least once a month and before long trips. It will save you money at the gas pump and keep you safe. A message from the Rubber Manufacturers Association.
My name is Tom.
My name is Cindy.
We give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
We know our time and money are going to the right places.
We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
If you're driving, texting, checking Facebook, or returning emails and we catch you, you will get a ticket. If you don't kill yourself first, it's not worth it. A message from the California Highway Patrol and the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Everyone's a Finkel friend on Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Get ready for another hero of fascinating things to know. From witty and intriguing people on Judd's Napa Valley Show. No stale script and no rehearsing. Live from a Napa studio. You may be that intriguing person on Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Pardon me, I'll have a Chardonnay. A marvelous date, it's hard to say. I know we never talk about the Sauvignon Blanc. It's a must-have on the podcast. It's Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Easier, the Pinot Grigio.
You can't ease this flow if I elaborate over a Cabernet. My buddy's the truth. You should study my man Juddy and learn something new.
And now, live from the 1440 KVON studios at Broadcast Park in the beautiful Napa Valley, celebrating 5 years on the air, it's Judd's Napa Valley Show. I'm Lauren Mull, and here's your host, Judd Finkelstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lauren Mull. It's a pleasure to be here. 5 years. It would have been yesterday was the actual date, so we're pretty close to being exactly 5 years. 5 years in one day we've been doing this.
Well, congratulations.
Can you believe it? Or I guess I've been doing it, not to sound self-centered, but the show just wasn't quite complete until you came on board just a few weeks later. So we're coming up on your five-year anniversary. Well, maybe that's when we'll have our big fifth-year anniversary show.
Sure.
I think that's a good idea. What have you been up to?
Well, the big day is almost here. This coming Friday, March 16th, Oracle Arena. Everybody is a Star will once again be singing the Star-Spangled Banner for your NBA champion Golden State Warriors.
Fantastic. Tickets available, I would imagine.
Yes.
Can folks find more information at everybodystar.org?
Yes, or the Golden State Warriors website.
Oh, well, of course that. But, you know, I try to send a little business your way because this is an organization that you are involved in. Would you like to mention what they do?
Well, Everybody's a Star is a non-profit-based organization based in Sonoma that helps special needs individuals like myself showcase our talents and broadcast quality music videos.
And if you go, dear listener, to the website which I just mentioned, once again, everybodystar.org, you can see our own Lauren Mole, his handsome face, his stylish look in that white, it's like a tuxedo jacket, right?
It is.
Man, you're looking good. All over Northern California in these different settings, singing, I just...
haven't met you yet.
That's right.
Michael Bublé. But here's a suggestion. Just wait until after the show.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
You don't want people to...
Not while we're on the air.
Oh, this show. I thought you meant at the Warriors.
No.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Not now. You want to listen to this show. This is going to be a good show. We got stuff planned, sort of.
Right.
It's going to be fun.
It is.
One way or the other, it's going to be a good
so
time.
So we're looking forward to Friday. So so what's been going on with you, Judd?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, things are cranking at the winery. Still very proud of our rating as the number one specific thing to do on TripAdvisor is visit Judd's Hill. I say specific because the first one or two things actually say go wine tasting or take a tour. But then after that, as far as a specific thing, it's go see Judd's Hill. And I'm very proud of the customer experience that we have developed there and the hospitality and the different programs. You can come have a wine tasting in our beautiful tasting terrace, sit down. We don't even have a tasting bar. Everybody gets to sit down, relax, enjoy. We get to chat a little bit, know each other. We do our bottle blending day camp, where folks come in and actually create their own cuvée, which they can then leave with, bottle it up that day and go home. And we have our wine and food in balance seminar. I hate to call it a seminar. Seminar sounds like it's going to be a boring thing, but this is a class, although I don't know if that sounds much better. But it's really fun is what I'm trying to say. And it's about 90 minutes. And through that, you learn to, work with the flavors of wine and the flavors of food and how they play together and interact. And you'll leave with all the confidence you'll ever need to host a dinner party or a gathering where wine and food comes together. It's tons of fun. So proud of that. And coming up on the last call for our Mississippi River cruise, I may not mention it again. Well, I might mention it again next week.
Oh, but go
we'll
ahead.
See. The Judd's Hill Mississippi River wine cruise is coming up the middle of April. In fact, about a month, April 15th through the 23rd. I think we actually leave the 16th, but I'm planning a party the night of the 15th in New Orleans. We leave from New Orleans. We cruise up to Memphis. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait. Excursions along the way, wine drinking opportunities. I'll be talking about wine, making some presentations. We're actually going to do one of our bottle blending day camps on the boat.
People
there will be able to blend their own wine as well. It's just going to be a great time.
I like
visiting
that.
A little slice of Americana as we float up the Mississippi on the world's most opulent paddle wheeler, I'm told. So that's what I've been up to. And I think we ought to, let's get started here. We got a show to do. We got a guest that's got things to say.
Sure.
That I want to talk to. I want to find out what he's got going on.
Okay.
So please, Mr. Lauren Mole.
Oh, sure. With this guest, we've got one in the can, though. Now, years later, we want to see what he's done in that span. So, welcome back to the scene, the king of all beans, El Gran Frijolero, Steve Sando.
Steve Sando, Rancho Gordo Beans. Welcome back to the show.
I feel right at home. Thank you so much.
That's great. We had you here, let's see, it's been about 4.5.
Has it been that long?
It's been about 4.5.
I just did it.
I know. It seems like no time has passed, and it was actually 4.5 years ago, I think.
Wow.
I know.
I've got nothing to say.
Oh, okay. Well, then, Lauren, let's go back to you.
No, it's shocking.
Let's see. Can you talk right into them?
I'm sorry. I'm not.
I want to make sure you're on. I'm working the board here. I'm still not a tech genius.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, I'm happy to be back. Seems to work. We're good.
Yeah, I think we're. Super. I'm hearing you a little better now.
Yeah.
But welcome back. Now it's good to have you. I did realize this was going to be my 5th anniversary doing the show, and so I gave some thought. I wanted to save the big blowout, which you can be a part of as well.
Right.
We'll talk to you about that, but till we get to Lauren joining the show. So we got about a month.
Okay.
But I wanted to think, in the 5 years that I've done this show, how have I progressed, changed, developed as a person? And I identified some points. And probably the biggest change in me as a human came about because of having you on this show. This is true. You have been
a heavy burden.
Yes. You have no idea how your influence has shaped my being.
Wow.
And that being, yeah. B-E-I-N-G, not to be confused with the way you have changed me, is I now have a completely new outlook, appreciation, and admiration for beans. B-E-A-N.
Yeah.
Yes. So I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Now that I do pretty much, I do most of the cooking at home, and I've been able to incorporate beans in ways I never thought possible in my life, and different types of beans, and the discovery of the varieties of beans and the different, you know, flavors and textures of the beans. I could go on and on, but you're here, so why don't you go on and on?
Well, I this was is in a great. Similar boat when I first started. I liked beans, and I grew up in the Bay Area, and we had taco night instead of macaroni and cheese night. And the beans were always my favorite part, but I was obsessed. And I started gardening here in Napa, and then Rio Zape, I think I've mentioned this before, was the one bean that got me excited. It's like, oh, this is like the Pinto I love, but it's much more interesting. It's complex. There are hints of chocolate, hints of coffee, and then I got obsessed. And this is, I'm sure I've said this before too, but we're really great with balsamic vinegar and European wine traditions and really interesting European cheese. But our own food are these indigenous plants, these beans, and we don't know what a Rio Zape is. And yet we could probably name a vinegar from Italy.
Right.
So not that there's anything wrong with the vinegar from Italy part.
Not
a lot
at all.
Of it's come from Europe, but not everybody. And this is our own indigenous food, and I think it should be part of our culture.
And you have certainly made it so. And anytime I go into your shop, Rancho Gordo, here in Napa, on Yohome, sometimes you are there yourself. If you're not, you have an amazing staff who can take you through all the beans. And they talk about it like they're talking about wine. You know, this has this flavor profile and this texture, and best used if you're making a cassoulet or if you're just whatever, making a little stew, or if you're just going to simmer up some beans and eat them on their own, this is the one you want. They'll steer you in the right direction, I think is super
and
cool.
And it's because they're all cooks too. Everyone who works there loves the product and cooks with it. So, and almost everybody came from, no, I have a couple of beans I like, canned aren't so bad. And then they work there and suddenly you just get obsessive. You want to become a bean expert.
It's true. Bean freaks, I think, is what
and
you
bean freaks, yes.
And folks, you know, we're not going to talk too much about Steve's background, only because we covered that in the last show. So if you want to scroll back in the iTunes store for the podcast, it was October of 2013 was the last time
young,
you were here.
So innocent.
I know. You haven't changed a bit.
Not a bit.
Still young and innocent.
Yeah.
So I thought today we're going to talk about beans. I want to talk about your new book. But I just want to just talk about just enjoying life. It's been a rough week in Napa Valley. And I struggled with coming in, like, how to approach this show. You know, I already had you lined up, and then, you know, some tragedies have happened. Well, one very big tragedy, unheard of in Napa until this point, up at the Veterans Home, and I wasn't sure how to approach the show, because I know it's getting a lot of coverage. What could I add? How do we talk about it? There are a lot of folks talking about it. So I thought, you know what? I'm really glad Steve's coming. And I just would like the focus of this show, being mindful of what we've gone through in the past week. But let's talk about enjoying life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are one of these folks who I perceive as a bon vivant. You know, you get out, you see the world, you enjoy life. So let's can we make that the focus?
Of course.
Like, life is, as we are unfortunately reminded of this week, life is, it can be short, and, you know, the unexpected can tragically affect a community, which we have experienced. I don't even know how to transition now, but I would like to talk about now enjoying life, so that we can make the most of our time here. And believe it or not, beans have become part of that for me because of you. So you really have inspired me in this respect.
I mean, part of the problem is you want to acknowledge what happened and not be cold. And if people don't know, before Yountville happened, I was very upset by the Florida situation.
My
son goes to New Tech, and about a month before that, this is where it all started for me, was they had a lockdown because of the shooting at there was a shooting at Starbucks and all the high schools were in lockdown.
Yes, very close by.
And he had a friend who had a service dog who was making noise, and he was afraid the service dog was going to attract a killer. And I just don't think a high school kid, they should be worrying about whether Brenda's taking them to the dance or what Susie's going to wear. Worrying about a service dog attracting a massacre is really awful. So that's where I got started with this.
It does put a bit of a crimp in the educational experience,
sure,
doesn't it?
Sure.
Yeah.
And then Florida happened, and then unfortunately now Yountville's happened. So just as a quick background, I won't dwell on this, but
we have been using
FedEx. And unlike other companies, FedEx has agreed, is still partnering with the NRA. And I don't want to go, I just want to stress this isn't a Second Amendment issue. I think there's many responsible gun owners and who are not represented by the NRA. And it's strictly an NRA issue for me.
Well, I read the article about your front page in the paper,
yes,
about you and your decision. And, you know, I thought you put some good thought into it and expressed yourself well. You weren't trying to make a political statement as far as the Constitution or the Second Amendment. This was just you having a beef with a certain company and expressing that as a business owner.
Yes, because I think in the end, even probably extreme NRA members, we all want to end gun violence. The question is, how do we get there? And we can't even discuss it when the NRA has a stranglehold on Congress. So I want them out of the conversation, and the rest of the grown-ups can get together and figure out what we can do. And that's really my stance. And I'm not smart enough to even say what to do. I can't even say whether we should do this or that, but I do know we can't have a grown-up discussion with the NRA in the room. So that's
How's the response been? Because, you mean, as a small business owner, it all filters through you. So there are not layers and layers of management. It's like if people have a beef with this or they support you, you're hearing about it. And how?
Mm-hmm.
What was the reaction?
I would say it's 98% positive, which I was absolutely shocked. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are negative, there are a few trolls. But then there have been some really interesting back and forths by being civil and discussing it. Like grown-ups.
It actually sparked discussion with people who might not have your point of view, but you're able to just talk it out.
And I came to the conclusion, and I think they might have too, we all have the same goal. We just are not agreeing on how to get there.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I think if that's where we start, I think that's a huge plus. So that's my stance. And I also, as a business, I just feel like I had no decision. Like, this is something I had to do, but I also don't want this to be my reason for being. Like, I don't want, I really want to talk about, when do you salt your beans?
We will.
I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying in general, this thing seems to be gaining steam. And I think it's because we all feel so helpless and we want to do something. But really, I'm more qualified to talk about Mexican movies from the 40s. Than
and I would like to talk about that as well. Yeah. But I am glad to hear that you have had discussions, civil discussions.
Yes.
And it reminds me, one of my dad's best friends when I was a kid, fishing buddy, they used to play poker together, go out bass fishing together. And he'd come back and tell me how the two of them, kind of like what you said, they both agreed that this is the direction the world should be in, but they couldn't have been more opposite, politically and how to get there. But they had this great bond and they were such great friends because they could just enjoy the day together. They could talk it out. And kind of get to see each other's perspectives, and it did not hamper their friendship, which I thought was really wonderful.
No, and so as you're approaching someone who has the opposite view, keep in mind, we really do have the same goal.
Yeah.
Really, no one wants gun violence, especially against innocent kids.
Yeah.
So with that accepted, then you can have discussions. So that's where I got this week. But it's been a rough week, and then having Yountville happen right after that was just really too much.
It is much, and it is being talked about, and before the show went on, we said we weren't going to dwell on this because today's show is about enjoying life. So, Steve Sando, when do you salt your beans?
So, everyone always wants my secret to cooking beans.
Yeah.
Is, and in case people don't know, we do heirloom beans. So, those are beans that are indigenous to the New World that are generations old, and they tend to have more interesting flavors. And we keep everything fresh. Our goal has been 2 years that we don't have a bean that's over 2 years, but we sell so much, we actually don't have anything over one. Whereas sometimes you can go into a grocery store that doesn't sell a lot of beans, and they can be seven, even older, years old, and they take longer to cook. But with our beans that are fresh, I always think I put them in plenty of water. I don't salt right off the bat. Bring it to a really hard boil for about 15 minutes, I would say. And then I turn it as low as it'll go. And then there's a point when they stop smelling like, if you've seasoned them with vegetables like aromatics, carrots and onions, all of a sudden they start smelling like beans. That means we're ready to go, and that's when I salt them.
Okay, that's when you throw them in.
Statistically, though, it makes no difference.
This is your style. You are the king of all beans, El Frijo Lero, the man behind Rancho Gordo Beans, the world's favorite bean supplier. We want to hear when you salt your beans. A bit of background, if folks don't scroll back to October 2013. Mm-hmm. Rancho Gordo came about, we don't have to get into all your whole background, but the idea is to have these heirloom beans, these indigenous to different areas, either in Mexico, some other places in the New World. You even get some from Europe, I think. Mm-hmm. And you yourself go down to Mexico and you meet people who can grow these beans and you set up a business with them. Basically, you go into partnership. It seems like you're very fair about this. You approach because you want them to be sustainable in their farming, and you pay them well. They hold on to the seeds as well, but they supply you with beans.
But I have to say, 70% of our production is California. Mm. So people think we just bring beans in from Mexico. So I have to stress we're using old-timey farmers from the Central Valley who are just think I'm nuts. And then I know we keep coming back year after year, and we keep growing. So that's really fun.
Oh, so you go collect seed beans in Mexico and bring them here?
Pretty much. Each bean has a different story.
I'm sure. And you can hear them when you go to Rancho Gordo, because everyone there knows the whole story of every bean.
No, but most of our production is California. Okay. And as a native Californian, it's important to me that California ag continues to be strong and not just chasing any trend. So we, year after year, we've grown about 10 to 15% every year since we started. But the Mexican beans, my idea of a good time is to go to Mexico and go to a farmer or a mercado and try and find unusual beans, which is really easy to do. And I used to try and buy the seed there to bring it back, but it's considered really offensive in Mexico. Like, seed is what you have, and no one can take that away from you, and usually they've grown them. So I didn't realize I was sticking my foot in it. And we finally have a business situation with a company called Shashok, and we now work with small farmers in Mexico, and they tell us what they're growing, and that's what we bring back. Because they said, oh, no, we'll grow anything you want. And I thought that is something we possibly could do, but I would really rather keep that here in California. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do something that's culturally relevant to them. Like, if suddenly we asked for Rio Zape beans that aren't part of that region of Mexico, we're dictating too much.
Yeah, and it kind of muddies the story.
It does.
And I think that's very important. You know, me being in the wine business, I know so many people connect with us at Judd's Hill. I mean, the wine is good, but, you know, there's 500-something wineries in Napa Valley. Nobody's making bad wine. Of course, there's stylistic differences. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, people like our wine but really connect with us and become, you know, our loyal customers, because it's more of a personal thing. There's a story that they are connecting with. And I can see that happening with these beans, too. When I go to your store, I hear about, mm-hmm. you know, the people who grow this particular bean and where it, you know, where it originally has come from. And I like that. And when I eat it, I appreciate it so much more.
Oh, that's good.
It's very cool.
The funny thing is, you don't have to know anything, and you just eat it, and it's delicious.
Sure.
Or you could know it's from this weird village, and this bean was completely obscure. And that's part of the fun, too. The funny thing is, when we first started going, they're thinking this isn't going to work. They just knew I was going to give them a shoddy deal, that we would come in one season and then dump them. And it's been fun. There's a certain village in the state of Hidalgo that has paved roads now, not simply because of us. I don't know. The scary thing is, it doesn't take much help somebody, and to do it that's culturally relevant. Mm-hmm. Like, if I went in and said, let's make screws for auto parts or something, and then closed it later, I don't think that helps anybody.
Right. But so this is letting them do what they've been doing, but getting a living for it. I mean,
and I think we see this here and there. Women, I find, not to be sexist, but tend to land on their feet in tough times, and men really identify with their jobs. And if for some reason times are down or whatever, it's really hard for a guy to figure out what to do sometimes. So my goal is to create opportunities. And I think charities are great, and I think there's a role for them. But for me, I guess I have an inner libertarian in there somewhere. But how do you create an opportunity so they can become business people? And so I don't dictate what we're doing. They tell us this is what we have, and I decide whether I buy it. I give them market price, actually, which is fair, but we tend to come back. So my issue is opportunities. I think the more people have them, the better we are. And I think that, for me, is a better way, time better spent than just donating to a charity.
Well, that's fantastic. No, it's that old proverb about, you know, give someone a fish and they'll eat, and then teach them to fish and they'll eat for a lifetime, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about.
I think it works, yeah.
And you showcase what it is you do. Well, there's a few books out that feature...
I have three. And I'm working on my fourth. That's funny.
So yeah. since last you were here, and this is actually relatively new, but you've brought the latest book for us to have a look at. This is the Rancho Gordon Vegetarian... Rancho Gordo. I said Gordon Vegetarian. Yeah, I'm like reading it all as one phrase. Rancho Gordo Vegetarian Kitchen by Steve Sando.
And Julia Newberry, who's our actually...
And Julia Newberry, now that I can see it.
Yeah,
yes.
She's our general manager. And We, on end of every weekend, would compare notes about what we've been cooking. Mm-hmm. And neither of us are vegetarians at all. But I think a lot of people are trying to cut out meat as part of it.
Yep.
So my thing is, if it's a moral issue, I'm not interested at all about it.
You said that. I was listening to the last episode.
Really,
you
said
people are
myself,
not in. Yeah. No, you just said people. You weren't talking about yourself. You said people aren't into moral food. And I thought that was funny.
I'm really not.
As much as they talk about it, they're just not that into it. But
to me, if you make something fabulous and, oh, by the way, it's vegetarian or even vegan, I think that's the way you get people interested in that kind of food. But to say meat is bad or to put a moral slant on it, I think is really boring. Doesn't interest me in the least.
So the point to make a vegetarian cookbook was not out of morality. It was just you love...
And slight pandering to the market. I think people are trying to eat less meat.
Lauren, don't you love his honesty?
I do.
Yeah. So we would love to sell books. But these are just great things we wanted to eat that happen to have no meat in them. And the most of them are actually vegan, it turns out. But not consciously. It just... There's a great book out there called Cucina Povera, like The Poor Kitchen, and it's about post-war Tuscan cooking and how they had no food and what they would make up. And it really taught me, can you pare it down? Can you pare it down and still have it be great? And with really good ingredients, you can. And I think that was part of my influence as well. Because my tendency just, no matter what you do, put cheese on top. And you really don't have to do that sometimes.
It doesn't usually hurt, but there are some other flavors that could come out. So this is the new book.
Yes.
The Rancho Gordo Vegetarian Kitchen. I'm going to have to come over and pick up a copy because I have become enamored of beans, and it's all because of you. I've said this over and over. Now I feel like I'm just gushing, but it's bizarre because I never thought that I'd give any thought to beans, but you've said that there's like a cult following now. Bean freaks are a thing. People have gotten into beans. They want to talk about what beans they're eating and how they make them and with what, and everyone has their own method, and it's become like a subculture.
And I think also because it's not very mainstream, people feel like it's their vegetable.
They can own it.
They own it. And did we have a bean club before? I don't think we did. So we have a bean club now, model after a wine club. So they get a quarterly package.
Oh.
And there's 2,200 members, and there's a 700-person waiting list to get on it because we can't fulfill
what?
Them. Yeah. So it's company's dream.
I was about to rush over and sign up, but my goodness, okay.
You can get on the waiting list and it might work out. But
thanks.
it's really fun because we get smaller amounts. Like when I go to Mexico this last time, we had a farmer who had one bean called Flor de Durazno or peach flower, and he only had 2,500 pounds. So it's for us at this point, it's really not worth marketing something so small. But I thought, we'll just give it to
Bean
Club.
A ton and a quarter is small.
Yeah, isn't that something?
What do you need to satisfy your club?
Well, that was what we did. We gave it to the Bean Club. Instead of marketing it in general.
Oh, I see.
Like, so we need at least 10,000 pounds, really, to introduce a bean. Yeah. I have to tell you, in the early days when I did the farmer's markets, if I did $40, I thought, this is really going to work. And it's like, it's very funny. Yeah, we're not Nestle's, but we're doing really well.
You're doing okay. We got to take a break.
Sure.
I'm sorry, but this is Steve Sando of Rancho Gordo Beans, El Frijolero, and this is fun. We got more to talk about.
We'll be back with more of Judd's Napa Valley Show right after these messages.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the California Army National Guard, aired by the California Broadcasters Association and this station. A&W Root Beer in St. Helena helps you start your day right. They're up early fixing breakfast the way you like it. Hot, fast, and fresh Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 11, and 7 to 11 Saturday and Sunday mornings. Their coffees are locally roasted and brewed fresh to complement their fresh-baked blueberry or cranberry orange scones. Try a half-pound breakfast burrito or a fresh-baked Southern-style biscuit breakfast sandwich with a side of hash brown bites. Can't make it for breakfast? Try the barista-made hot or cold espresso drinks all day. In a hurry? A&W has the only drive-thru in the Upper Valley. See you soon.
Many calls. Many clicks. And yet, just one call to 1-888-693-NDEP or one click to www.yourdiabetesinfo.org gets you the free diabetes information you need. The National Diabetes Education Program makes it easier than ever. Get free information on living with diabetes, tips to prevent or delay type 2 diabetes, and how to help loved ones manage the disease. Just one call to 1-888-693-NDEP. Just one click to www.yourdiabetesinfo.org. One call, one click. The National Diabetes Education Program, your source for free diabetes information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Judd's Napa Valley Show. Every episode, a veritable cornucopia of Finkel fun.
Judd's Napa Valley Show. Judd's Napa Valley Show. Judd's Napa Valley Show. Judd's Napa Valley Show.
At 1440 on your AM dial in Napa and streaming live around the world at KVON.com, back to Judd's Napa Valley Show.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lauren Mole. Our guest is Steve Sando, El Frijolero, the king of all beans. That's my own thing. I hope that's okay. But Mr. Rancho Gordo, the man who has made beans exciting. I was about to say again, but I just like exciting, period. It's like... Looks like you brought a little something. We used to call this "Get Your Hands on Judd's Goodies" because mm-hmm. people would bring me some goodies and I'd like to give them away. Our district attorney was on and didn't care for that name so much. Our police chief was on. I was like, you might want to consider. And they're all right. So like Lauren and I were going. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
works for me.
You know, I guess yeah. I was naive. I said, yes, yeah. I've got goodies. I'd like you to get your hands on them, but. Mm-hmm. But Lauren and I will put our hands together. We'll come up with a little more PC name. It's been explained to me how people might perceive that. So,
yeah.
So, all right. But you have something.
I have something for you.
And okay.
I was told it should be not completely related or something somewhat sure. obscure. So, I went on a jag. I hate Worcestershire sauce now.
You first, hate it?
Well, it's not the same as it used to be. They've added tons of sugar.
Oh,
it's
I see.
It's not as strong in the anchovy flavor.
Yes.
And I was the Lee and Perrins. Like, it's not what I remember. And then I found out there's corn syrup in it now.
I am a big fan of the Worcestershire sauce. It is, you're right, it's a little sweet. And there are certain restaurants I've been to that make their own, and I almost always prefer it. And I don't know why. I need to find a recipe.
The British one, it doesn't have corn syrup.
Oh, it doesn't?
No,
okay.
There's a tiny bit of sugar, but it's not the same thing.
Okay.
So anyway, I went hard. I looked hard and long, and I finally found a woman in Texas who makes Lady Jane's Alchemy Worcestershire sauce. So I brought you some of that.
Wow!
It's actually dated and
let's see here,
limited edition.
Wow! Oh yeah, hand labeled and dated. 2000. Aged 11 months. It says.
So even longer, actually.
Wow.
So, and it's very good. It's still not what I remember. So I think the secret might be to figure out how to make it yourself.
Okay.
But it is very good.
Well, if you have a tip on how to make delicious Worcestershire
is what
sauce.
They told me in English.
Yes. Yeah. You can send your recipe over to Steve Sando at Rancho Gordo. He'd love to find out.
And also you can say Worcester if you're
Worcester. That sounds
that's
like
what the Brits do. Yeah. That's what they call it casually anyway. So if you don't want to wrap your tongue around that word Worcester sauce.
Worcestershire. Anyway, listener, if you would like to have this, I assume unopened bottle.
Yes, it is unopened.
It is a small. It's 100 milliliters. Mm-hmm. Looks great. Handmade in Texas. Be the first to tweet. You got to use Twitter. Tweet Well, we're not going to use that handle anymore. So just say, you know, I want the sauce. Just tweet that. I want the sauce to use hashtag JNVS for Judd's Napa Valley Show and put at Judd's Hill. And I will see it immediately. The first one to do that can have this sauce. And I'll bring it to the tasting room over at Judd's Hill on the south end of Silverado Trail. And it'll be there for you. You know, I would like to... If I could just, before we get back to you, I just want to mention something else. This weekend, I'm going to bring it back down a bit, but this is really a wonderful person and should be acknowledged. But a dear friend, not only of my family, but of many a Napa Valley resident and beyond, really a fixture of the valley and an icon of hospitality here, we lost over the weekend Walt Bells, who many may remember. For his, I think, almost 20 years as a waiter at Trevigne, kind of the all-star of the room there, knew everybody's name, knew what they liked to eat, knew what they liked to drink. The way he would describe dishes with his theatrical overpronunciation of the Italian names always made it sound and seem more delicious. He has passed away this weekend, and certainly a beloved Napa Valley character. He was an artist, an avid surfer, a great spirit, and a very spiritual person. And sometimes I feel, lacking in that department. But when I would be around Walt and hear him talk, I always felt uplifted somehow, that there was this positive power somehow, you know, holding us all up. And I always liked to bask in that when he was around. He had an impact on me. He was the first one I ever saw to take a young wine and say, "Oh, may I decant that for you?" And then we'd say, "Oh, sure." And he would just take the wine and turn it completely upside down and let it just chug. You know, it looked so vulgar, but just chugging into a decanter, but it worked so well to let it open up. I remember after, I took a tour with him and my folks at the DeRosa Preserve many years ago, and he, being an artist, you know, had a lot to say about the different works there. And then a few years ago, after my father passed away, we were sitting drinking something or other, and he said, "You know, every time I pass DeRosa, they have this sign outside that said Art Alive." And my father's name was Art.
Oh, great.
So he'd pass by there and say, "You know what? It's true. Your dad is still here with us, still alive, and you know, now I'll think of him as well, that the sign is not there at DeRosa anymore, but every time I pass by there, I think of him telling me that, and now I'll think of him as well." And so to Walt Bells, I know you are just catching some amazing lefts, getting barreled somewhere up in heaven in your on your longboard and enjoying the heck out of it. And I think he once told me that heaven to him would be a place where I think that Italian frizzante came out of the drinking fountains. So of different levels of dryness, you know, from dry to sweet, right, whatever the next fountain would be. So I'm sure you're enjoying that very much, Walt. Steve Sando, let's get back to the enjoyment of life, shall we?
Well, man. No, but I have to say, that's really sweet. Yeah. You did that. That's part of life. So
yeah.
And sometimes we rush through them and there's no right or wrong way to do stuff like that. So I think that's great. You had a tribute for him.
Just a great guy. Yeah. He deserved a little recognition, and he certainly got, he had so many stories, which I could get into, and maybe another show. Actually, I tried to get him a couple times here and it never quite worked out. But, you know, before becoming El Frijolero, and I love this, that you were a DJ playing jazz and talking cocktails in Italy.
This was a long time ago.
That is so cool.
1988. Yeah. And it goes back to, like, I think the opportunity thing. If there aren't any opportunities, you sometimes have to make up your own. And,
yeah.
I was listening. I was stuck in Italy. I thought I was going to work at one company, and I got there and I thought, "Oh, I'm not going to do this." So I went to the jazz station and just said, "I want to be on the air." And I was on within a week.
And how's your Italian?
Then it was non-existent. So it was like Charo speaking.
Okay.
Me want for to know how is possible to be on air. Yes.
Okay.
But by the end, I was okay.
You're doing pretty well?
Yes.
Cool.
But now I speak Spanish more, and I speak a mixture of Spanish, English and Italian. I probably pick Latin, and no one can understand me in any language. So it's a
throughout
one.
All your travels in Mexico, like, who's this Italian pig Latin dude?
And the thing is, the Italians will correct you. Were not in a mean way like the French, but they do correct you if you get the word wrong.
Yeah.
And God bless the French. There's no problem there either. No, but I've the Mexicans never had a will problem just smile there. And like they're just so happy you're even trying because so many people go down there don't even bother.
That's
so
good. And right now I'm planning to go down to Mexico.
I'm so excited.
And I am too. I have not been to Mexico in years and years, and I've never been to Mexico City. That's where we're heading. Really, I've just always had an interest in Mexican history, culture, food, music. The ancient sites. So I'm so excited to have this opportunity, but necesito practicar mi español antes de salir.
You
porque,
betcha.
Porque mi español no es muy good. And
but coming to Rancho Gordo, because most of the staff speaks and they love their. They get a kick out of us. You'll do fine. No, really.
I'm not too worried about it, but I would like to be a little more conversational. Are you still like doing any music? I mean, I don't know if you're DJing. Nowadays, you can DJ right from your home on an internet radio station. But are you still like in the music scene? Do you go out, listen to music, have cocktails? Is that still part of your lifestyle?
No. You know, it's funny. So in 1988, no one was really drinking cocktails, but I loved old cocktail books.
I think
I've mentioned before, my mother was a little beach bunny in St. Clemente. My father was a lifeguard, and they used to go to Howard Rumsey's Lighthouse and their MG. They were typical 50s California kids. And so it's definitely been part of my background.
So you're Orange County guy.
Yeah. Well, no, I wasn't.
No, you weren't.
They had, no one can know, so don't tell anybody. I was born in Los Angeles. And then we moved up here almost immediately by the time I was born.
Okay. I think I revealed this, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, that Lauren, also, please don't say a word of this to anybody.
Oh, no, no.
It's our little secret.
I, too, born in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Shh. Hollywood, in fact.
Cedars of Lebanon?
Yes.
Me, too. You know, and that was the same hospital. And that's now the Scientology building.
Exactly.
So every time I see a documentary on Scientology, I'm horrified.
I was born there. Yeah, yes. Exactly. I say the same thing. Yeah. No, they moved west and became Cedars-Sinai. But, okay. So we're, look at that. We entered
Isn't
the world
funny?
In the same place. And the corner of Sunset and Vermont.
Yeah. And supposedly it was on the night of the Academy Awards, is the family legend. But
wait,
I've never
minute.
Really looked that up. 1960.
Okay. No, I know we're not the same year, but that's the same story with me. My mom is such a fan of the Oscars, which were at the time always on a Monday night, that she held on to me until Tuesday, and I was born on Tuesday, the day after.
That's funny.
So are you in April?
April 5th.
No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, and
I'm isn't that funny?
11. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we
got... Anyway, so I'm in Italy. I really felt that jazz and cocktails were two great exports from the United States that I could share with those people. So I would play mostly kind of West Coast jazz. But also I love classic vocalists like Frank and Ella and Sarah Vaughan. And in fact, Sarah Vaughan was always Sarah Vaughan, and that always packed me up.
Well, you know, you read it and you don't pronounce.
No, and we say plenty of things wrong, too.
Sure.
So it was a lot of fun, and I still keep up with them. But I don't do anything now. It's hard to consume. I still buy CDs, believe it or not. I think when I download something, I feel like I have a copy of it. I don't actually own it. And I am finding situations on things like Spotify where something I love suddenly isn't available. So I actually still do like purchasing things.
It's kind of nice to have the physical thing, not only as a sense of ownership, but it often comes with the liner notes. And I really miss that. And I hear a lot of folks talk about that. This is not a unique point of view, but I used to love sitting down, listen to a record on vinyl or a CD, and while I'm listening to it, reading through all the notes about.
Sure.
I love that.
I don't quite understand how you organize your music so that, I love flipping through CDs. It's like, I want to hear this. Yeah. Anyway.
A little more visual to me.
But I do, I have to say, I love Mike Greensill, our local piano player, and another unfortunate situation. Wesla just died.
We did give her a little tribute the other week.
But if I were to go out, I think it would be to see Mike. But I'm not going. I don't
but
go
but
out
you don't.
But if I were to, I think Mike would be who I'd go see.
Mike's phenomenal, and he still has his regular gig at Silos, and want to support
we're
that.
Really lucky.
Yeah, you mentioned on the last show, and I was intrigued by this. I want to see if this ever did happen. You said that you've never tried this, but you've heard in Texas that they just make up some pinto beans and drizzle honey on it and eat it up yet, but you've never tried it. Have you in the 4.5 years since given this a shot?
I'm happy to say it. My life is complete. I have tried it.
You've done it. Yes. And what do you say?
I think the kids say whatever now, right? It was okay. Like, oh, whatever. Oh, okay. It's all right. It's like, I wouldn't do it again.
Oh,
I would,
okay.
There's other things. You know, in Mexico, they have dulce de frijol, so there is like almost a pudding made with beans that makes more sense to me.
I'll look for that. You know, a lot of, you see it in Hawaii or at Asian markets around here, the sweet adzuki beans served with shave ice or tea or things like that.
It's a very different bean, though.
What do you think?
Yeah. Oh. It's nice, but I don't think you could do that with one of our beans. I think it really needs to be an adzuki bean.
Okay.
You know, I don't think, one thing I wanted to talk about was the Marcella bean that I don't think had come out yet.
Okay.
So I just had to tell you, I was going through the orders, and I'm seeing Marcella Hazan in Florida. And Marcella Hazan wrote the classic Italian cookbook. Is that what it's called? I think so. Yeah. So anyway, she's a very famous...
No, it's
very famous Italian cookbook author, Marcella Hazan.
Yes.
And she wrote many, many books. And I'm thinking, she can't possibly be the one ordering. And so I look, and it was her.
Wow.
So we became buddies, and we talked about Italian pop music from the 60s that we had in common, and we went back and forth. And I asked her at one point, what's the bean you miss most from Italy? And I assumed she'd say Zolfino, which is a real famous bean from Tuscany. She said, no, I prefer Sorana, which is a really obscure bean. So we spent quite a long time finding the seed, and then we actually planted it, and I was able to send her one really bad harvest, and she was happy. And then right as we finally got it down, she died.
Oh,
which was horrible. So but we had a great crop, and so I asked her husband Victor if we could call it the Marcella, because of a terroir issue. We didn't want to call it Serrana because that's where it's from.
I see.
But I thought Marcella would be appropriate, but she was also really adamant about not doing promotional stuff. She never endorsed anything. And it just would be nice to get clearance before you do something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said she'd love it and that she would be honored to be named after a bean. So we have this wonderful bean called Marcella that I think everyone, if you like Italian food, is really important.
What would you use it in?
Well, classically, you put it on toast. And then you mash a few down, put a few more on top, and then drizzle your very best olive oil over the top of that.
Mm.
And the New York Times covered this. It was really funny.
No,
so we have this Marcella bean, and I just know there's so many Italian people here. I mean, Italian food fans.
Yeah.
That would
absolutely
love it. Because it's interesting. These beans, a lot of them come from Mexico and Central America, but then the Italians took them to Europe and bred them, and Marcella is one of those. And it's almost gelatinous orbs. They're just really delicate. They're not for everybody because they are a little harder to cook, because you cook them and you think, oh, they're okay, and then you cook them a little further and it's like, oh my, this is really good.
Ah.
And you cook them too far and then you have pudding.
Right.
So that's it's for someone who really, a food freak would be perfect for that.
Okay. Yeah. Good. The Marcella. And are those available at the moment?
Yes. We had a good harvest this year.
Great. That's
you know, they are a vegetable, and people get upset when we lose certain ones. We ran out early, but you know, it's just like wine. I mean, the crop's done, and
that's it.
You can't shake a tree and get more. You really have to plan this thing out.
So you must get some irate folks.
Very irate, because they don't. That here in California, especially the Bay Area, we understand it's a crop, but I think most people just think you push a button or call the distributor and you get it.
Right.
But that's part
not
of
the way you
too.
Do it. No. Well, there's so much. I mean, we're starting to run short on time. There's so much I still want to talk to you about. Even cooking methods, you know, the pressure cooker versus old-fashioned just in a pot versus a clay pot. But we're not going to talk about that today.
Okay.
We're going to have to come back or extra podcast content. Who knows?
Yes.
But I want to mention, along with the Rancho Gordo Vegetarian Kitchen, you also now have turned some of your classic Mexican movie posters into a postcard collection.
Yes, I don't do anything casually. So when I started seeing these Mexican movie posters from the 40s and 50s, I got all excited. And so I have about 500 of them now, which is a little
And that's
nuts.
Really a fun part of visiting the store is that they're up and you can see them and appreciate them.
Sure. And, you know, we have a lot of Mexican-American and Mexican-born people who to come here and they don't get a lot of strokes for their culture beyond burritos, which really aren't their culture. To work in a place or to come visit a place that actually is celebrating something like this, I think is kind of fun. But the posters are fun, too, because they kind of reinforce some awful stereotypes and introduce new ones. And they're all they truly have a propaganda look to them. So they're pretty fun. So we just made a little box with 25 postcards in them.
And those are available as well. What's the website folks can find you?
RanchoGordo.com.
RanchoGordo.com.
And our store's on Yohome. We did close the San Francisco store, which was the happiest thing I've ever done in my life.
I seem to remember a Facebook post. You seem pretty pleased with that decision. No, so congrats. We won't dwell on it.
No, thank you.
Now, last time you were here, we asked you a very sensitive question. We got a very honest answer. We appreciate it. So I'm not going to ask you again because we know the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. So now I'll move on.
All right. Okay. Never bring it up again.
That's right. We won't bring it up again. Yeah. No, the question was, do you go nuts for donuts? So we have some donuts here for you. You went for the maple old fashioned. So we got you another one of those. You also mentioned that your guilty pleasure is an apple fritter. So we have one of those for you as well.
Be still
if you want,
man.
There's a couple others. You can even have the whole box. I'm just going to give these to you as a thank you gift for being on the show.
Because we both enjoy health food.
Absolutely. And we are now going to move on to everybody's favorite party game here on Judd's Napa Valley Show.
This is Mad Libs.
That's right, Steve Sando. You've done this once before. We're going to do it again. You know how it's played. I would like an adjective.
Hairy.
Hairy. How about a state of being, an emotion type thing?
Paranoid.
Paranoid. All right. Another one of those.
Well, because of the time change, let's say exhausted.
Exhausted. It's tough. I'm usually pretty good at waking up. I'm sort of a morning person, but not the past couple of days. All right. A geographic location. It could be anywhere you can think that's a place.
Taipei.
Is that like Taiwan? Taipei, Taiwan?
It seems like a long distance charge to me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. A person in room.
I'd say Lauren Mole.
Lauren Mole.
That's possible.
Okay. An adjective.
Thin.
Thin. Another adjective.
Plant.
Plant?
Bland.
Oh, bland. I'm sorry. Yeah. Bland. Another adjective.
Let's go back to tired.
Tired. A theme here. How about a verb ending in ing?
Satisfying.
Satisfying. Okay, Steve Sando, El Frijolero de Rancho Gordo. Earlier, I was on the internet. Did a little research about you and found this article from none other than the New York Times, which came out in February of 2017. Mm-hmm. And it's about you. Mm. But you've rewritten a portion of it right now via this Mad Libs game. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Very few can claim the title celebrity bean grower, but Mr. Sando of Rancho Gordo in Napa, California is just that. He began by raising beans in his hairy garden and was immediately paranoid and exhausted by their high yield. It sounds like a good problem.
Well, I was going to say, this is kind of true. This is like ringing.
To manage the overflow, he began selling them at the farmer's market in nearby Taipei. Mr. Sando's beans soon found their way into the hands of Chef Lauren Mole.
That's beautiful.
And the rest is history. Now this is, this is the author speaking in the first person. I'd never thought about why black bean soup is so much more savory than white or red, but Mr. Sando knew immediately. This is your quote. Only black beans make that thin broth, he said. Then they have that bland center and tired, satisfying flavor. They are really special.
Yeah, clearly.
Yes. So, Steve Sando, we're just going to have you back again because we haven't even really barely touched on world travel and so much more about beans and cooking. You can tell I'm genuinely interested, and I never thought I could be. So I want to thank you for the inspiration.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
So making me a bean person.
Week.
No, happy to have you here. We will have you back again. And enjoy this day. I'm going to actually head over to Rancho Gordo in a little bit. I need beans.
Into an apple fritter is what I'm going to do.
Okay, well, there you go. So which bean quickly would go with that apple fritter, do you think?
I think a nice cup of water because I don't know. I probably wouldn't team them. But actually, you know, beans and wine, we should do that.
Okay.
And also because of your river cruise, I'm going to be thinking of Old Man River all day long. That song's a songworm now. I got it in my
you
head.
You want to give us a little rendition while he signs off?
No, I did it. No, but I'm thrilled for you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Steve. Great to have you back.
This is Lauren Bull speaking for Judd's Napa Valley Show, a Gil Lamar production.
In winter, you can practically hear your skin changing. Drying out, flaking, tightening, becoming itchy, irritated, and inflamed.
You need the fast relief of Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing Anti-Itch Cream. Unlike regular lotions, Cortisone 10 relieves itch and irritation with 1% hydrocortisone, the strongest non-prescription itch medicine, plus 7 healing moisturizers. With Cortisone 10,
snowball fight!
Winter can just sound fun again. Cortisone 10, feel the heal. Use as directed.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive